church. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to have you stand up again, and we're going to read some scripture together. And you're going to hear not my voice this morning, but you're going to hear Jeff read scripture this morning, Jeff Owen. All right, so just follow along as he reads our scripture this morning.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such law, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for being the one that shows us how to live. Lord, I pray the words that you spoke, the words that you're speaking this morning, the words that you have breathed into our lives, may they be real. May we hear it, believe it, and be obedient to it. Lord, today, may we be confident in knowing that we are loved, knowing that we are forgiven, and knowing that we are called to do more. Lord, today may it be a new day for us. And we all say, amen. You may be seated. Good morning. We're doing continuing on in our series called Words to Live By. And as I was preparing this week, I started thinking about this idea, words to live by, and how it can become so just nonchalant in our life. We read scripture, we know scripture, many of us know and understand scripture, but it doesn't really affect us the way it should. And I started thinking about this time of the year is usually the time where, you know, we did the new year, new me kind of deal, right? We do the New Year's resolutions, and by now, usually, they're done. Right? Anybody do some New Year's resolutions and you keep saying, I'll start next week? Just me? All right. Right? And it's gotten really bad for me. I go home and I did join a gym, and I get asked, so are you using the gym, by my lovely wife? But it's got worse because she's recruited other people in my life. Specifically, where did she go? Peg, in the back. Every time I walk into the office, so you go to the gym? I don't want to lie. No. Right? But I'll get there. Right? And we find every excuse we can. And I, as I've gotten older, it's easy to go, you know, New Year's resolutions are just a joke. Right? It's just easy to go, it's just never going to accomplish, I'm set in my ways. And as I prepared this message, I believe God is going to use for you, but I like to preach in a way that I know God's working in me too. And I believe this message is just aimed right at me this morning, and it might hit a lot of you, it might not, but this is my request, and it's a pride thing. Afterwards, just don't come up to me and go, sorry, are you going to change? After the sermon, okay? It's more for us all to reflect on and be understanding, like, God has called us a certain way, and has it just become familiar for us? Has it just become something that you're like, yes, I know God wants me to do this, but maybe next week I'll start, right? And I want to think, as I was studying for this week, I think... this has happened in Scripture, where Jesus has become just familiar with people. And I'm going to turn to Mark, and you're going to see it in Mark. Let me get there. Mark 6, 1 through 6 says this. Jesus left there and went to his hometown. Accompanied by his disciples, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. He was doing amazing works before this. All right, and he's back home. He was doing awesome things. He did some miracles. He He gained a reputation by the time he got home. They knew he was doing some amazing things. So then he goes, where did this man get these things? And this is just the people at home saying these things about him, right? The people that know Jesus, saw Jesus grow up, was part of Jesus' life, right? And they ask, what's this wisdom that he has been given? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters with us? And they started to take offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives in his own hometown. He could not do any miracles there, except for lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed of their lack of faith, and Jesus went around teaching from village to village. First off, I want to pinpoint some things out here, all right? The people talking, they know who Jesus is, to a point that it's just Jesus. It's nothing more. It's just Jesus. We saw Jesus growing up. How can he do these things? And it became, isn't he just a carpenter? Isn't he the son of Mary? Isn't he just the brother to Joseph and Judas? Is that his sisters with us, right? And they started taking offense because he's telling them how to live this life. He's telling them, I'm the Messiah. Believe in me, and only through me you can find salvation, right? And he's telling them these words, and they start to take offense. And this is what happens when Jesus becomes familiar. This is what happens when Jesus becomes familiar. Jesus said to him, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, in his own home. And right here, I want to pinpoint something. He could not do miracles. It wasn't that he would not. It was he could not. And this is very intentional right here in this. He could not do a work right here. Sorry about that. I want to focus right now on this idea of where our walk has been, how we are getting there, and has it just become familiar to a point that we are only banking on certain little things in our life to feed us spiritually, right? Hence, if today, and I've preached this before, okay, Jesus, move in me, make me feel something inside here, let me know I have a heart in here that can beat for you, let me know that I'm alive right now. May this sermon be one of those sermons that's life-changing, altering. Make it happen for me today. And if it doesn't, miss the mark. Right? Right? It just happens that way. And we get complacent with Jesus. He just is a carpenter. He's just a man in Scripture that we read about, that we believe that changed our lives, but hasn't been changing much lately. I haven't really been hearing his word. I haven't really been prompted to do what he has called me to do. Hence, right? This is why we keep focusing on this, what Jeff read earlier. We are to live by this. We are prompted to do these things, to be kind, to be caring, to be forbearance, to be faithful, to be gentle, to be self-controlled. Right? Why is there a call in our life to do these things? Because Jesus wants you to do these things. There's another avenue in which we haven't really talked about. Jesus desires you to live a life without sin. Let me say that again. Jesus desires you to live a life without sin. We go around, and I've said this from here, Jesus loves you right where you're at. You believe that? You know that? He loves you right where you're at. Do you think Jesus is happy with you staying right where you're at, where he found you? Thank you. Right? He's not. But we tend to have that moment where Jesus came in, changed our life, we are on fire, and all suddenly it just dies out, right? And we just go, where did that flame go? And what happens is we become familiar with our God, and we become familiar from what Jesus did. If I say he died on a cross for you, yeah, I know. And he died for your sins for you. Yeah, I know. But I don't feel it. And I'm going to tell you right now that that feeling that it's lost is because of what has become familiar to you. Right? We get into routines. We get into normalcy. We get into life. And everything that Jesus was takes a back seat to where he wants you to go. Right? And all of a sudden, Jesus becomes this pedestrian in our life. And we go, yeah, I know I should have been this way, but I know he loves me anyway. Right? And I think just in life, just like life, the more somebody starts to say and say and say in your life, eventually they're going to stop saying because it's hitting a wall. I'm still hoping my wife will stop begging me to do laundry if I ignore it enough, right? But in reality, even with a friend, if I don't call a friend forever, guess what happens? They're not so much a friend anymore, right? Or they might reach out and I just don't know the avenue in which they reach out to anymore. And I think this happens with Jesus in us, right? I think he gets to a point, I cannot do miracles in your life because you have become too familiar with me. You don't know the awe of me. And I started thinking about this in my own life, right? I started thinking about what this looks like as a parent, right? And as a dad, I love to have fun with my kids. I love to joke with them. I love to tease them. I love to have that moment. And sometimes I have to ask for forgiveness, we target their mom as the jokes. I still live in asking forgiveness from playing hide and seek, and she didn't know that we were hiding on purpose. She thought we were kidnapped. She thought something horrible happened to us. And what was really even more on top of it, the person that was found last didn't have to do any chores for that week. So we were hitting really good. And we left our cell phones out. Like, she thought, oh, the end of the world came. What happened? And, like, the emotions of the mom going, oh, no, right? And I heard her kind of panicking, and she called my friend. She's like, is he with you? And it just kept going down a rabbit trail. And I was like, okay, now I should probably come out, and this isn't going to be good. And, man, she was not happy, right? And it so happens Jackson's the last one. He didn't have a clue what was going on, and he comes out, and he's like, yeah, I wasn't found. And she's bawling. I was like, Jackson, stop. You're going to get me in more trouble. Like, right? So we have this bond, me and my kids. But sometimes that bond, I need to put not just the friend hat on, I need to put on the dad hat, right? And the dad hat comes on when I'm asking them, hey, we need to do this, right? Now, there's a big difference between both my kids in some ways. Jackson, he will jump, he will do, he might give the, like, oh, okay, I'll do it. And he'll get up and do it, right? Or if he's in the middle of a game, he's like, can I do it after a game? And sometimes I'm compassionate, I said yes, and sometimes I'm like, nah, get up, let's do it. You got to get her done. My daughter, on the other hand, yes, poor Natalie, right? I will tell her to do a simple chore such as dishes, and this is her first reaction. Right? And then she gets up again. She's like, okay, I heard you, Dad. And I'm like, no, it's not. We're not faking this. Get up. Let's do it. And she'll make it to the kitchen, and then she disappears and lays on the floor. I will tell you, the first couple times, ha, funny. Let's get up and do it. Now, I'm like, ooh, I can feel it. I'm like, oh, get up, do it, right? Anybody else a parent feels that? It's the world we live in. Like, chores become the thing. I'm like, oh, let's fight, right? And as a dad, I start to think about this in my relationship with them. And there, because we have a friendship level, there are times that they go, okay, I can push this so I can be disobedient, right? Because I know, and I hope they know this, I will love them no matter what, right? Do you know that? Good. I'll feed you today. All right? I pay them before we get up here. I told them sort of that I was going to speak about them today. All right, so I don't ask for their permission because they would always say no. I just preemptively tell them sometimes that they're part of the sermon. Anyway, so, sorry. We come to a point as parents, like you just go, okay, this is the interaction. You either are going to be obedient or I'm going to make you be obedient, right? Now, the difference between us and Jesus is this. This is a weird statement to say, but God has limitations. Weird, right? God can't sin, right? He can't lie. Like, he's put limitations on himself because he is holy. He is above those things. You know, one of the limitations is he does not force us to love him. Can I hear an amen on that? Like, he does not force us to love him. He shows us what our love can do, what his love can do in our lives. He shows us how he can restore us. He shows us a life of what it can mean to choose him, right? He shows us those things, right? But it's our choice. And I start to think about what that choice meant at the beginning for Ben Alexander. When I chose to follow Jesus, what that meant, man, it meant my entire life. It meant my entire being and who I was his from that point on, right? Like, I wanted to breathe. I wanted to act for him. Like, the impact that Jesus had in my life, and it was through this church, it was through other people, but the reality is through Jesus Christ. That I acknowledge that, man, he did something that I can never, I don't deserve. I don't deserve, and he did it freely for me, and he loves me right where I'm at, and all the things that I carry with me, and I can lay at his feet, and I can put there at the altar, and I know he will forgive me for him. But this is the problem with this. That can easily become familiar. That can easily be just become my relationship where I'm like, okay, I'm still living in this mess and it's still your mess to, yeah, forgive. And it gets kind of old. You're like, why am I not changing? Why am I not doing something different? Why am I still caught up in this? And it's mainly because the moments that God, and I guarantee you, God is probably speaking to you, has spoken to you, has wanted to do things through you, and you go, I just can't do that. That's out of my comfort zone. Hey, maybe you should go talk to, like, Sheila. She's awesome. She's got those gifts, right? She can do that. But God keeps saying, no, I want to use you in this moment. I need to use you in this moment. And the more I keep saying no, the more that I keep making excuses, guess what's that happens, the familiar starts to happen, and Jesus just becomes a passenger in my car, just becomes somebody that's wanting to take the wheel, wanting to be the leader of me, and I keep saying, I'm not ready, right? And all of a sudden, my soul and everything that was there, that fire that was there, that the excitement that was there, the life-changing, altering trajectory of who I am becomes just another New Year's resolution that I'll get to. Right? And I become this disobedient little teenager going, and then get up and take two steps and go, okay, I'm done, right? I see the dishes, right? I see what you've called me to. I know that you've called me this to do this, but man, that's going to take some energy. That's going to take what? Faith? Words to live by, right? Galatians, right here, words to live by. The Spirit is love. The Spirit brings joy. The Spirit brings peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Brings all these things, right? If we want these words to have life, it means we have to continually say yes to this Jesus Not the Jesus that's familiar. Not the Jesus that's just a carpenter. Not the Jesus that's just a brother and a sister. Not a Jesus that's just there on a Sunday. Not a Jesus that I read in my scriptures and go, that's a good fellow right there. Not that Jesus. The Jesus that looks like this in Revelations. And let me get there. Revelations 1, 12 through 17 says this, I have turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Among the lampstands was one, someone like the Son of Man. Now, I want you to know he's using figurative language here. He's using metaphors here. But this is just so amazing. This is a Jesus that's not comparable to the same Jesus in Mark, okay? Dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with the golden sash around his chest. The hair of his head was white like wool, as white as the snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I was dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. Woo! That's a different Jesus right there than the one in Mark, is it not? That's a Jesus that has, whoa, okay, time to wake up. Let's do what he's calling us to do. This is a Jesus I look into the eyes and I'm like, okay, I'm afraid of what he's going to see in my life. And I go, I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient because of what you are and who you are and what you mean to me. You are more than what I desire to be in this moment. You are what I want for the rest of my life. And I choose you instead of the sinful ways of my life. And it may rip an arm off. It may rip a limb off of me going, man, this isn't a change relationships. This isn't a change how I view the world. This isn't a change what I say and what I do, because guess what? You are in control. See, God did not design us to sin. God have never had intention for us to feel what we feel and to deal with the battle of Satan in us. And we deal with that constantly. And if we try to deal that battle on our own, it's never successful. It's never successful, and it just becomes familiar. It becomes just another story of what we have done and what we want to do different. And it's just the same thing over and over and over. And I don't know about you, but if your life has been constantly a repetitiveness of taking one step forward and then two steps back, maybe it's a reexamination of who Jesus is in your life in comparison to these two stories, from Mark 6 to Revelations 1. How do you see Jesus in your life? Is he somebody that you fear or somebody you go, I can abuse and take advantage of? Because I know he's always there. I know he always loves me. And part of that is right. But the other part is, he's also, when we accept him, he starts moving forward expecting us to walk with him. You guys know the famous painting of the footsteps, right? And the only footsteps in the sand. And it's this idea of maybe Jesus carrying us through it. And I also think at the same time, I think it's us following in his footstep, going after him. We are called to do what? To follow him. When the disciples were called, that was basically the question, will you follow me? And from that point on, they had 3 years of their life going through situations that were treacherous and amazing all at the same time. They were sharing a gospel that was against the law, that could get them stoned and get them killed. But they looked at Jesus and said, okay, let's go. Let's do what you see and let's say what you say and let's live this life that is fully on the cusp of just straight faithfulness. I'm telling you right now, people, I'm telling you, First First Church of the Nazarene. I'm telling you right now, Jesus wants to be this Jesus in your life. He wants to be Revelations 1 in your life. He wants you to look at him and go, there is nothing bigger than my God. There is nothing more magical than my God. There is nothing more amazing than Jesus Christ. And he's wanting to go to war with you. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is the war that he's wanting to go with you. He wants to live out these words in your life. He wants to live out this. He wants you to be loving in times that is just not easy to love. He wants you to be peaceful in a world that is full of chaos. If you're going through divorce, if you're going through hate, like somebody just hating on you, guess what he calls you to do? To go the extra mile with him. He calls you to love your enemy. It's not easy. But faithfulness is not banked on our own will. It is through Jesus Christ. The more that we believe in that revelation, Jesus, the more that we see how powerful he is, amazing, and it just fills up our faith even more. And we lay down our stuff when we know he's got it. All our brokenness, everything that shackles us to the ground, everything that we, even our doubt, he comes along and goes, okay, I got it. It's mine. Let me deal with it. Now do you want to go and follow me? And I want us to be a church, Springfield First, I want us to be a church that says this. I want this to be our theme. I want us to be ready and says, here I am, Lord, send me. Right? We want to be a church that says, we are here to do your work. We are here to say yes to you. We want to be obedient. Obedient because we know how strong and powerful you are. We know who you are. We know you as the Christ on the cross, but that defeated death. Right? Like, we want that. We need that, Springfield First. We want this to be the rule and reign. So when we wake up in the morning, it's not another Monday. It's not something you go, oh man, I'm going to fail again today. It is, all right, through Christ, all things are what? Possible. Do you believe it? Again, hear my words. Jesus loves you right where you're at, but never intended you to stay there. He implores you to move forward because he wants you to be a part of the miracles that he has in store. He wants you to be a part of the story that he's writing. He wants you to be a part of some other person coming to know who Jesus Christ, because this Jesus is amazing. I want you. Jesus wants you. I want to. Every time I walk into anybody new in relationship, I hope and I pray they see Jesus just oozing out of me. I hope they see the obedient man of God, because not because of me, but because of what Jesus did in me. Right? And the same for you. And so every interaction, everybody that we come in contact, whether they are a great person or a horrible person, whether they give you good service or bad service, whether they are a lovely person or just not lovely person, they see Jesus Christ in you. And I'm going to tell you right now that you see the greatness of Jesus before you see any of them. That Jesus stands in the way of every interaction that you have, and that he's not willing to hold anything against them. Why should you? You are called to forgive. You are called to move forward. You are called to love your enemy. You are called these things because Jesus did them for you. He died on the cross before you even said, please, don't. He died on the cross so you wouldn't have to die because of your sins. God is good. All the time. God is good. Right? Don't let that become familiar. Don't let that become familiar. Let it be fresh in you every day. Let it be real in you every day. Let the Jesus of Revelations go and go, that's my Jesus. That's the one that I look to. He's not just a brother. He's not just a son. He's not just a carpenter. He is my Savior. And I want to be different. And I need to live differently. It's all right. All right. God is good. All right? There we go, all the time. God is good. Stand with me, church. Are you ready to be a church that says, here I am, send me, Lord? Are you ready to be a church that goes, okay, I don't want to just follow God aimlessly. You don't want to be a church that sits down and takes a break. You don't want to just be a church that looks at Jesus and goes, okay, he's just Jesus. Let Jesus be real in your life today. May you be overwhelmed by the presence of what Jesus is and who Jesus is and what he has done for you. And when you wake up tomorrow, may that be just so fresh. When you wake up on Tuesday, may it just be so fresh and real that you go, okay, I want to be obedient. I want to follow you today. May your steps be real to me. May I see where you're leading me. May I be obedient and not be one that just goes, okay, maybe tomorrow. May these words, here I am, Lord, send me, be real today. May they be real tomorrow. Church, go knowing that Jesus is not just a carpenter, that Jesus is not just a brother or a son, that Jesus is our Savior, and that he has called us to live out the words of Galatians. He's called us to be loving, kind, and peaceful, and joyful. Maybe there's some areas in your life that you need to let go. Maybe there's some anchors in your life that you've been holding on to and you just sat down and you're not ready to give them up. This morning could be a morning you go, here I am, Lord, send me. I don't let those things hold me down anymore. Your power is bigger. I believe it. You're the God of miracles. You are the God that sent the Son who died for us. You're the God that broke up the sea to save us. May it be real today. May he send you and you be ready to be sent. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in our life. Dear Lord, may it be real. May we lay our burdens down upon you. May we lay the things that are anchors in our life and say, here I am, send me. May this week be a week that we look at you and we are in one of those moments where you see the true essence of your being and we are overwhelmed and we wake up on Monday saying, here I am, send me. We wake up on Tuesday and we say, here I am, send me. And we get all the way through the week on Saturday and we've been sent and we got stories to share on Sunday. We have praises to give on Sunday. Lord, may you move in us. May you call us to be obedient. May we say yes to you. You've called us to be the life beyond the sin that we are attached to. May we lay those burdens down at your feet and trust in you. We give you all the praise this morning. Here we are. Send us. Amen. Go in peace.